Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. I'm Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, MedSpa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're going to talk about something that, like, I think we all do in the MedSpa industry and really don't think too much of it. And that's applying topical lidocaine.
Why is it a problem? Could it be deadly? It
can be toxic. Toxicity can lead to a lot of things.
You think it can kill you?
I think it can.
There are actually quite a few cases of people dying from lidocaine toxicity, but fortunately not something we see a lot in the med spa or the medical aesthetic practice.
I think we're probably hypersensitive here just because of your anesthesia background, because I think a lot of places don't even think about lidocaine toxicity, whether topical or injected, because we do both. I mean, we do topical and we do injectable lidocaine, and a lot of our products also have lidocaine already in them.
And patients tell us, put more, give me lots of numbing cream, can I take it home, can I apply it before I come in? And there's really no concept that this could be dangerous in any way.
What's the prescription medication?
Yes and no. It is a prescriptive drug, but there are a lot of ways that people get this by ordering through unapproved sites. They get this through some in the tattooing industry will have strengths or combinations that don't list the ingredients, and they're under the limits of what would be, I guess, reportable. I don't know. Maybe somehow we get them, and it's like they're strong numbing agents.
You can get some on Amazon. There's one called Numb Master that you can order just online.
Yeah. And so those, you know, it's interesting to me how people get these, but they don't really understand that they could be problematic. So in general, they're not. I don't want people like leaving this thinking they have to be afraid to get numbing cream or topical numbing applied. But also the providers need to understand there could be toxicity associated with it. We were trying to like look up recent cases. So there's some where these have been non-medical providers. So either maybe they're licensed in other countries and they're doing things here illegally. They're not licensed at all doing procedures. And then there are also reports of things like estheticians, cases of estheticians who are using this. There are cases of tattoo artists using this that have gotten into issues with it. But almost all the cases are related to large body surface areas, occlusive dressings, or high concentrations of the topical agents. And so it's where we're going to use something that's really strong, very concentrated, and then we're going to wrap something around it like Saran wrap and occlude it for a long time. Or we're using devices with heat that will cause transfer of it. So things like our laser hair removal.
That's one of the cases that I was reading about that did lead to a death. It was actually from 2006, so it's an old case, but it was an ablative laser. And the patient had a hepatic history. So the article that I was reading was talking about they have increased risk with hepatic insufficiencies, cardiac insufficiencies, and that sort of thing. So comorbidities certainly play a role.
Right. And the size of the patient. And so the thing is, this is usually something that we can pretty reliably predict based on weight. And so in the hospital setting, in my anesthesia training, we knew safe dosing ranges for our injectable or even things that we would need to do in the IV. And so when we're using some of these things, if we accidentally had this medication go intravenously, we knew kind of what the ranges were and how to keep it within those ranges. But what I find is as we move from that hospital, from that anesthesia setting into more of these aesthetic practices, most providers and most patients are just thinking about comfort. And they're only thinking about the comfort aspect, not the flip side of that coin is what I'm applying, could it be dangerous in some way? And by the time we get to the setting of lidocaine toxicity, I think people need to be aware that this can lead to things like cardiac arrest. Your heart can actually stop beating. And in those cases, if you have a cardiac arrest from something like a lidocaine toxicity or a local anesthetic toxicity, it's called LAST, but it stands for LAST, local anesthetic systemic toxicity. But if we have local anesthetic toxicity and a cardiac arrest from that, it is very difficult to resuscitate. This is a very prolonged CPR, cardiac support, and there are even cases reported of people needing to go on a cardiac bypass machine and let that clear from their system. So in a hospital setting, if you have all of that available, it can be a low chance and a difficult resuscitation to get that patient back. Certainly if that happens out of the hospital in a clinic that doesn't have appropriate resuscitative equipment or protocols in place, high likelihood that that's going to lead to something that is likely going to lead to a brain death or an anoxic brain injury, at least where they don't get enough oxygen to the brain for a prolonged period of time. So the key is we don't want to ever be in that situation. I mean, that's the take-home message is don't get yourself in that situation. So understand what are the things that increase the likelihood that you could experience that as a patient. And so don't push your provider to do things that they may not be comfortable with. Understand that as medical professionals, they have training on what these safe doses are and safe ways to apply it. And as a provider, make sure that you understand the agents that you're applying to the patient and how to identify these early signs before they have something like a cardiac arrest.
So applying the topical lowers the threshold and lowers the amount that you can use when you get to the injectable point, right?
Correct, because we have to keep in mind when we look at safe dosing ranges, those dosing ranges were established with like a single dosing route. So it was either infiltrated, so meaning we just kind of spread it out over an area. It was applied topically and they measured systemic levels, or it was injected directly intravenously for a particular reason. So there's certain types of nerve blocks that we actually will fill up the veins with local anesthesia. And so to do that, we have to know what are those amounts that we can put directly in that area? How long do we hold it in that area before we will release a tourniquet and let that now move systemically? So to learn all of that, obviously in the anesthesia world, there's lots of talk around this and we have to have a lot of types of resuscitative equipment available because we're doing that. We're not really doing any of that in most med spas. Now, areas that we get close to that or that we have to worry about it is if we start doing things like liposuction. So even things that are doing simple in-office liposuction. So if we're doing certain areas, if we do more areas than maybe typical, if we do this on a really small patient with a low body mass index or a low weight, if we're doing multiple treatment areas and we've already put things on like topical anesthesia to numb them beforehand. And now we start using some sort of solution that has lidocaine
in it. Like a tumescent.
Like a tumescent solution. Then all of a sudden, all of those numbers change. And so it's not just looking at that single number. It's thinking, what else have we done? And has that medication had time to clear from the system? Now, I will tell you pretty much all the things that we do here. We're not using tumescent. We're not using infiltrative blocks. And so we're not even getting close to those ranges at skin and tonic. We don't numb large body surface areas. We look at other modes of analgesia or keeping the patient comfortable. So we use laughing gas, we use cooling methods, and for things that we need it, we control the amount of surface area that we're applying it.
Does the area that you're injecting, so I'm thinking about like a ring block for a scalp or scalp block, whatever you want to call it. Injecting in those areas, is it any more dangerous than injecting in other areas of the body?
There are definitely areas that are more risky than others, and that usually directly correlates with the amount of blood supply around the area that we're injecting. So usually when we're doing like ring blocks in the scalp, we're usually not close to those ranges. So if we just said a typical, when we add things to it like epinephrine, it makes those doses actually go higher because that constricts the blood vessels, and as much of it, the lidocaine, will not be absorbed systemically because it constricts the blood vessels. Now, if we're doing just plain, that dose is actually lower and because we're not getting that. So if we inject plain lidocaine in an area that there's a lot of larger blood vessels, you can get more systemic absorption quickly. And so that's going to be in areas like if we think about, you know, in the hospital, we would do something like a rib block. So if we did some kind of intercostal block for like rib fractures, there's a lot of blood vessels right underneath each rib, and that can absorb that and get systemic levels higher quicker than like if we did the scalp. When we're looking at aesthetics, the areas that are going to be highest risk is if we're doing any kind of nerve blocks near larger vessels in large amounts. But in the face, if you're doing your blocks appropriately, we shouldn't be even close to that. So when we talk about close ranges and we say that we're using a dose range of something like 5 mg/kg, if we had a standard average adult that weighed 70 kilograms, roughly 150-ish pounds or so, to 100, somewhere in that range, we would be able to then inject 350 milligrams at a 1% solution, which is what most of us are using. That's 10 milligrams. That means we can inject 35 milliliters. Do you remember the last time you've injected even 5?
No.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So when we do nerve blocks, we're in the face, especially if we're doing all these different little nerve blocks, we're injecting somewhere around 0.25 to 0.5 milliliters in each location. And for what we do in most of our outpatient aesthetic practices, we don't need large volumes. We don't need it to last for a long time because the procedures are relatively short. And if we selectively block the area that we're working, we don't even get close to those ranges. So we're not toying with that. But if we were to start doing this for larger areas that we were going to block and do aesthetic procedures, that is where those big vessels come into play. So if we wanted to do a laser tattoo removal on a chest, for instance, and we wanted to do rib blocks to sort of block the skin over that entire area, or intercostal blocks would be the medical term for that, then we could get into a little bit more risk there. And so that's where I want you to at least be aware of it, educate yourself on the area that you're injecting, and understand that there are riskier areas, usually related to the size of the blood vessels.
What are some of the symptoms like to identify if a patient does start to approach that level of toxicity? Are there warning signs beforehand? And I think, are there warning signs, and what do you do immediately?
Yeah, so some of the early ones can be scary, and especially if we talk about this. So I did a whole class that we taught on nerve blocks for the face. You can do entire facelift surgical procedures under just nerve blocks and no other type of anesthesia. And it can get scary sometimes because some of the areas that we apply topical or that we use in the face to block the nerves can have symptoms or signs and symptoms that mimic that of toxicity. So patients can have a weird taste in their mouth. So a metallic taste is usually what they say. They can have numbness or tingling of their lips and tongue. But a lot of times if we use topical to do lip injections, their lips are numb, they tingle, they may lick or touch their tongue to the topical anesthesia, and they'll say it's a weird taste. So that's where people start getting, and you have to go back then to your pharmacology and physiology and say, I've applied a low concentration in a small area, the lips. And so this is not likely local anesthetic toxicity as much as a side effect of the area that we're actually applying it. But if I was applying this somewhere else in the body, if I was doing laser hair removal and we're going to do this all over the legs and back, and I apply just the whole body with some sort of high strength topical anesthesia and wrap them in saran wrap to make it work better, then I better be really aware. And when that patient starts having a tingling or a weird taste, that we may be approaching that and I need to get help sooner than later. So that's some early signs. They can have like a ringing sensation or ringing in their ears. Maybe they're going to get very anxious. So that'll be one of the first things. They're going to start getting anxious. But from the time they have that and start showing anxiety, maybe some altered mentation, until they quickly progress to seizures, and then cardiac arrest is really quick. And so once you recognize it, you don't need to, if you are anywhere near that level, because you've injected in a high risk area, a large volume, you've used a lot of occlusive dressings, you need to immediately be ready to intervene. And if you're in your outpatient clinic, that may be activating and calling EMS to get there to help you. So the best thing you can do is be aware of these doses and what you're applying and avoid it, not even get close to it. But the second thing is, know that you will have some early signs, but from that early sign to progression to something very serious and catastrophic, you may not have a lot of warning, or you may not have a lot of time between those two events. Eventually, if we don't treat the underlying cause, which means stop infiltrating, stop giving more lidocaine, remove any that we have on, remove occlusive dressings. You know, with topical, by the time we get there, us just removing it alone, we're going to see continued systemic rise for a bit after we remove it, but we would stop and remove it all right away. But then the next things you would see is usually loss of consciousness, seizures, followed by cardiac arrest.
So don't ignore, if someone's having some of these symptoms, don't just ignore them and say they're anxious about a treatment.
Exactly. And I think that's why we're seeing this on TikTok. It's another viral TikTok trend that we got asked to talk about. Like I said, I kind of incorporate it in a lot of the different talks that I do when we're talking about nerve blocks and why they're important. But I think the reality is, a lot of aesthetic providers, we use such low amounts that we get away with it. And we don't really calculate those doses. We just say, hey, we do this every day. But where I see other areas of risk right now, and I want to bring everybody's kind of awareness and attention up, is when we are doing large volumes of biostimulants in the body. So when we talk about Sculptor butt, Radius butts, and those sorts of procedures, if we mix that and we use something like a 2% lidocaine, which is double the strength of the one, it's 20 milligrams per milliliter, and we use a large number of vials in a small patient. So if I have a small patient that may be, 150 40 pounds, like a small woman who wants like augmentation in her buttocks. And now I'm going to put something like 20 or 30 vials, and I even put one CC in every vial, which is what I would normally do for a face. We can easily be above the toxic dose for that patient. And especially if we start combining it with things like topicals and other types of local anesthetics. So that's where we need to put it in the back of our minds. Do we actually need that much? And for us, we don't put it in all the vials. We put a small amount in the total final volume where we're still not even close to that because it's not that uncomfortable of a procedure to perform. But I think sometimes we just think, oh, we put it in the face. But in the face, we're only talking about 2-3 vials at a time. Sometimes in the butt, we're putting 20 to 25 at a time. So we do have to at least be aware of it when we're getting into those larger areas.
You always tell me TikTok brings up crazy stuff. So I think this one is educational.
This one is educational, but it is crazy that they're talking about it on TikTok. And so it makes me wonder why they're talking about it on TikTok.
Because it happened in 2006 in Ireland.
No, it happened in 2025 in New York, but that was with butt implants in a hotel room, not medical provider, that somebody they caught at the airport that was actually trying to get out of the country after he did it. It happened recently, I think, with an esthetician somewhere doing a large body surface area. So they had numb like face, neck, chest with occlusive dressings and high amounts of BLT cream, and there was no medical provider on site. And then if we read through the case reports, there's like numerous ones associated with liposuction. Clearly it's associated with nerve blocks, but I wanted to focus just today on aesthetics. And I think that's why people are talking about it, because they hear some of these random things. There's a lot in the headlines right now about people that are, cases that are very well known and providers that are actually, you know, being placed on trial and having their records scrutinized because they either failed to identify how much they put on, how much they injected, how long they left it, all those sorts of things that we're talking about today.
Yeah. Interesting.
Be safe. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.